Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. It's a time that we set apart to prepare ourselves as we celebrate Christmas, right? The coming of Jesus as a baby. But it's also a time where we celebrate and we prepare ourselves for Jesus' second coming, his coming again. You see, the coming of Jesus is the theme in each of our readings today. But we're going to focus especially on the Old Testament. And so even from the very first words of Isaiah's prophecy, we see the Advent theme of coming. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. Isaiah is prepping his hearers for what is to come. And in doing so, he identifies the house of the Lord as a mountain. And not any mountain, not just, you know, a little mountain, or, you know, everybody likes to rank the different heights of mountain, but the highest of mountains. To which we ask the good Lutheran question, what does it mean? Well, this tells us about what Jesus has done. Through his coming into the world, what has Jesus done? In his advent into this world, why'd he do it? You know, you and I, we did not have an opportunity to be in the stable. We didn't see Jesus as a little tiny baby. We didn't have the opportunity to be there as in our gospel reading, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem triumphantly on the back of a donkey. We didn't witness him coming forth from the tomb 3 days after he died. We don't get to see any of those things with our eyes. We don't get to hear firsthand eyewitness accounts except through the scriptures. But what we do get to do is live in these latter days. This latter time in which the Lord is establishing his house as the highest of mountains. In these latter days, we wait for Jesus' second advent, his second coming. Isaiah is speaking here of the church itself as a mountain. I'm not just talking about Christ Lutheran Church, but we are certainly part of it. I'm not just talking about the LCMS, although that is a part of it too. But what this is talking about is the true church, the invisible church, the church that is comprised of all believers in Jesus Christ, both past, present, everyone. Everyone who is living the faith, whether physically alive in the body or not. The church that by the power of the Holy Spirit has preached and taught the truth in every time and in every place. This is what God is talking about. You see, in Isaiah, he continues. He says, all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, certainly this had some Old Testament applications, but it still has applications for us even in our own day. You know, how many people say, come on, let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Maybe not as many as we'd like, but certainly you folks are gathered here today. Why? That the Lord might teach you his ways, that you might walk in his paths, that you might hear the law that goes out from Zion, that you might hear the word of the Lord. And that's exactly what you're doing right now. You see, Isaiah is prophesying about the church that delivers God's gifts through the word, that delivers God's gifts through baptism, that delivers God's gifts through the Lord's Supper. You see, Zion was the name of a hill. It's the hill on which the city of David was built. That's Jerusalem. Now, we all know Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem was where they built the temple. It's where they had something called the Holy of Holies, in which God said, my presence will be in the temple, but they had these courts that sort of surrounded it. So there was an outer court and then an inner court. And then within this inner court was somewhere called the Holy of Holies. It was a place where the high priest was only allowed to go in once per year. And even then, the tradition goes, is that they'd tie a rope around his waist. So that way, if he didn't do the proper sacrifices and go through the proper channels, that they could drag his body out if the Lord struck him dead while he was in there. This is serious business. This is what God says about Zion, about Jerusalem, about his temple, about his house. This is where his presence is. The Holy of Holies, the temple of God. And guess what? You're in it right now. The Lord's presence is with you this very moment. And so now that the true high priest entered Jerusalem, as we heard in our gospel reading, on the back of a donkey by humble means, being born both as a man and as God himself, Jesus rides into the presence of Jerusalem to die. Now that the temple curtain, that is, that, you know, inside the temple to separate the Holy of Holies, this giant, heavy curtain. And what happened at Jesus' death was that curtain was ripped in two. And Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. You see, now there is no specific sort of Holy of Holies that is confined to one city in the world. Now Jesus has promised his presence, the promise of God himself would be in the new city of David, a new Zion, a new place where he has promised to be. It's in the church. It's right here. My friends, this church doesn't look anything spectacular. I mean, it's a beautiful church, don't get me wrong. But it's nothing like a mountain. You know, a mountain in all of its splendor and all of its strength. And this church, by comparison to a mountain, is sort of a humble building. But the truth is that when you are in God's church, you might as well be standing on a mountain. You ever seen a mountain? You know, maybe on a cloudy day, for instance. Have you seen a mountain on a cloudy day? Remember when my family took a trip out to Mount Rainier? You know, as you sort of approach the mountain, you can see the mountain, you know, you see the base and you know how it sort of goes up. But the truth is that on a cloudy day, the top of the mountain is hidden. It's concealed from your sight. Where is it? It's on the other side of the clouds. Now think about what we know about heaven. Now obviously heaven is not just on the other side of the clouds. But you know, we have this sort of picture that heaven is going to be somewhere in the sky. You know, somewhere above. And so this is what happens in the church. The church is that mountain that pierces the clouds. The church is the place where heaven and earth meet, where literally God touches down to be with you, where God touches down so that you might be in his presence. And he comes for a very specific reason. To give you his law. That's what Moses got on Mount Sinai, right? God gave the Ten Commandments on a mountain. And so here, much the same, you come to hear God's law. He preaches it into your ears. Where else did God sort of show himself on a mountain but the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus shines like the sun? He shows himself as the one true God. And so God does here. He shows himself to you as God, shining forth through his word that you might believe. What else did God do on a mountain? Well, Jesus carries his own cross to Mount Calvary, where he's crucified, where he bleeds, where he dies. And it is here that you hear about that crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. This is the other side of the clouds. This is where Jesus ascends to. He ascends into the mountain of his church. because this is where heaven touches earth. It's the place where you get to hear God's voice, where you get to learn His ways, where you get to walk in His paths. But my friends, that's the shame, isn't it? How many people are super excited to go to church? How many of us are so excited to tell our friends, I'm going to go be in God's presence. Do you want to come meet God with me? Do you want to hear God's voice with me? But so often we're not that excited to be on this mountain. All too often it seems a burden to climb to the summit. Why? Well, it doesn't look much like the version of heaven that we might imagine. Like I said, it's a humble building. It doesn't look like it's made out of gold or that we're floating in the clouds. I don't see any angels flying about. But the truth is that that is how we should regard God's gifts. That is how we should regard God's church. My friends, God comes to you today to speak. He is here in a way that is more than just imagination. You have the Lord's presence here today because He has promised it. Because He has promised that He would be with you in His church. That He has promised that He would never leave you nor forsake you. My friends, the angels are here with us today. And the archangels and all the company of heaven. Certainly they are unseen. But the Lord promises that they are here. And so they are. My friends, we don't often regard the church as we should, but God has a very specific word on this mountain today. Your sins are forgiven. All of them. Wiped out for every time you didn't want to drag yourself out of bed. Forgiven. For every missed opportunity to invite your friends to church. Forgiven. For everything and anything you have done or will do, Jesus has enough forgiveness for you. He won it all on Mount Calvary, and He continues to pour it forth for you on this mountain. Dear friends, members of God's church, as those who have been gathered to the highest of mountains this morning, know that today Jesus has come to you. He has come to you in baptism, as that water has connected you to the life-giving death and resurrection. He has come to you in the Word, even now as you hear His Word being proclaimed into your ears to teach you His ways. And in just moments from now, Jesus will come to you again. He will come on your lips in the Lord's Supper to declare your sins forgiven. This is the mountain of the Lord, and this is His promise for you. Eternal life and salvation and all forgiveness are yours today because Jesus has been crucified and risen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.